probably some other folks that could sing, maybe could testify, need to preach. If you got your Bible, let's open up to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 50. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 50. Man, it's good to be in the house of God this morning. And I sure thank God for a place I can come in and find good liberty in the house of the Lord. Thank God I don't fit in everywhere, and I sure don't fit in the world, but I thank God I fit in the house of God. And I'll read the scripture in a minute, but I want to say this. I'm glad I can be in a place where the altar is still an altar, where you can still come and get help from God, and it's still in order. Amen. I'm glad, and I think everybody ought to have a place at home where you pray and do business. I think everybody ought to have one, but man, I'm sure glad that whenever the Holy Ghost comes by my way, my weight is heavy. I'm glad I've got a place I can come and cast all my cares on the Lord and know that He cares for me. Amen. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 50, book of Isaiah, chapter number 50, and I'm going to read just a little bit. I'll start in verse number 2, but this is a messianic prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, and man, I like anything that's got to do with Jesus, amen. I mean, thank God I like anything that's got to do with Him. I like to read about Him. I like to think about Him. I like songs about Him. If it's about Christ, I'm for it, amen. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 2, says, "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, where was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering." Notice verse 4, he says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned." And notice the last two verses I'll read. He says, "The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we sure thank you one more time for allowing us to be right here in the house of God. I thank you again, Lord. I just want to say, I thank you for the good liberty that I felt. And it's, God, it's not about my feelings, I understand. But Father, I do know what the scripture says. And it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so, Lord, if there is liberty, then there must be the Spirit of God. Father, I pray for a few minutes of time today that you'd have help me one more time. And Father, if there's ever been a time and I'd like to preach today, Father, I'd like to honor you the best I can, and I ask you, Lord, to help me. Every place that I'd come up short, I beg that, God, that you'd make the difference. And Father, I pray that the word of God would find a safe lodging place, God, not simply in our head or in our mind, but Father, I pray that it find a place in our heart. Help us now, Lord, not to say one thing beyond what you'd have us to say. Father, I sure love you. I thank you. I bless your high and holy name. It's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in verse number 4. The Bible says, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, and I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." I thought about about this, and I'm sure that probably nobody much in here has the same problem that I do, but my mouth has got me in no more trouble than I could care to tell you. Far too many times in my life, I've said something when I ought to kept my mouth shut. It's been sometimes, thank God, maybe what I said was right, but the way that I said it was wrong. And man, I thought about how many times that sometimes that I sat back and I didn't say something when I ought to have said something. But man, listen, that might be my problem, and that might be your problem, but that is not the Lord's problem. Amen. The Lord, listen, friend, the Lord has never one time had to back up from one thing that he said. I got to thinking about, thank God, he never said one thing, thank God, out of spite or envy. Not one thing did he ever say where he was aiming at somebody. He never took a shot. He was never trying to listen. If the Lord was aiming for you, friend, he hit the mark. Amen. I mean, listen, he didn't mince words. I'm saying this, what the Bible says about the Lord is simply this. He says that he has the tongue of the learned, and he should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I'd say this to you this morning. The Bible says very plainly that never a man spake like this man right here. Amen. I'm thanking God today, as we said in this place, that there is a voice that's higher and a little voice that's louder than what you're hearing have come from my mouth. I'm glad, thank God, they listen. You might hear in your ears, Kevin, but I'm glad there's a Holy Ghost speaks down on the inside of our heart. Thank God. Listen, I'll tell you this. If you've been in the house of God very long, my friend, when God gets to talking, you can't hear nobody else for him. Amen. Oh, listen, I want to say, I got to thinking about how many times that the Lord has the right words to say. I thought everybody don't need counseling. And sometimes that's what we try to do. Everybody don't need confronting. And sometimes that's what we try to do. And everybody don't need comforting. Amen. And sometimes that's what we try to do. But I'm glad God always knows just exactly what to say and when to say it. Amen. I'll give you 3 or 4, 10 people tonight, and I'm going to be dead. I might preach a little while, but I'll preach till I give out. How's that? You pray that the Lord help me for just a minute of time. And what he said was this, that he had the tongue of the learned to speak in season a word to him that's weary. I find this to be true. I think if I could take maybe a survey, there's probably a little doubt in my mind that most of the congregation I'm preaching to is in one form or another weary. Amen. I mean, listen, thank God, you can't hardly live as a Christian in this world anymore and not be at least a little bit weary. Amen. I mean, thank God, listen, how you're treated like you got three heads everywhere you go. If you're not for the pro-LGBT and whatever letters they add on, if you're not for, thank God, all the liberal agenda, how you treated and acted like that you are the problem. Friend, we are not the problem. Amen. The problem is sin. Thank God. I thought about a few folks, so when the Lord shows up, man, he just gets to talking to people and he knows just exactly what to say. I thought about this. Thank God. I'm glad that the Lord knows how to speak to somebody who is weary from sin. Amen. I want to say this. I want you to hear me. There are folks that are in sin and they act like they enjoy it, but I'll tell you for sure, I've been around an awful lot of folks that thank God that they might be in that place, but they hate where they are. Amen. Oh, listen, let me say this. These folks that we talk about all the time in this church, thank God, and they're in pretty rough shape, and I'll promise you that they hate where they're at today. Amen. But they're wrapped up in sin. You say, preacher, what do you say to them? I don't know if I knew what to say, and I done said it. Amen. And sometimes we come up and we say, listen, you need to get rid of that, and don't done go to hell. And we'll do the best we can sometimes, Brother Bill, to plead with them about where they're going. And sometimes we'll talk to them about heaven. And sometimes we'll talk to them about mercy and that there's grace. But the fact is, Brother Rick, we don't really know what to say. But I promise you this, friend, when the Holy Ghost of God comes passing by, he knows exactly what to say. Amen. I thought about, thank God, listen, in John chapter number 8, we find a woman who is called. It's not speculated. It's not presumed. This lady is guilty. Amen. In John chapter 8, she's called in the very act of adultery. And when they get there, this is what they say. They say, here's what Moses said. And Moses said she ought to be stoned. And then the Pharisees over here, they say, this is what we think ought to happen. But Lord, what do you say on the matter? I want to say this to you, thank God. What I have found out in the house of God is when it's somebody else's sin, we say that's what the law says, and this is what we would do. But we're rarely ever right. Amen. But I'll tell you, the Lord shows up. And the question is, what did Moses say? Moses said she was condemned. Amen. I ought to die and be stoned in the sight of two or three witnesses. And we find that those old Pharisees there, they thought the same thing ought to happen. But boy, I like what the Lord does. I don't know what he wrote, neither do you. But all I know is he got down, stooped down. And the Bible says he began to write something. And one by one, their consciences pricked their own hearts. And they began to depart out of that place one by one. Boy, I sure like what he said to her. He said, woman, where art thou? Thine accusers. Amen. Thank God she said, Lord, I have none. And boy, the sweetest words that she probably ever heard in her life. That was, neither do I condemn thee. And listen, go and sin no more. I say this to you, friend. And listen, Moses may condemn us. And the folks around us may condemn us. But if I've talked to the Lord, and the Lord says, neither do I condemn thee, I'm going to do what Josh said about what Paul said, and I'm going to forget what's behind me and go on for God. Amen. Oh yes, listen, there's a lot of folks, thank God. I mean, listen, they said what she needs is a stoning. And the Lord said, no, what she needs is land on the rock. Amen. I'm going to tell you, good neighbor, it'll help you. And today in your life when the Lord comes by, I thank God he didn't just gloss over her sin. I find in Baptist churches today, that seems to be what folks want to do. Amen. And they want just whoever to do whatever. And just as long as we can fill the house and pack the pews. But I want to say to you, thank God, if there's sin in your life, you ain't right with God. You ought not get up and sing. You ought not testify. You ought not participate until you get right. Amen. Oh, yes, that is still right, thank God. And not for folks shacking up, singing in the church house. Amen. And not for folks listening, drinking. Look here at me, good neighbor. And the preaching or teaching, it's still out of the will of God. I face folks say, hey, Brother Kevin. Hey, Brother Kevin, listen, I hear this all the time. I'd say just a little bit won't hurt nothing, will it? Just a little bit won't hurt nothing. I tell you what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is unwise. And the scripture teaches us in Romans chapter number 14, that there ought not be any of us that put a stumbling block in front of our brother and would cause him to fall. And I'm going to tell you, good neighbor, thank God, listen, y'all not trip up somebody into hell. Amen. That is right. I'm glad the Lord knows how to come by our way and speak a word to him that's weary in sin. I'll say this to you tonight. Thank God, I'm glad that the Lord knows how to come by our way and speak a word to us when we're weary from the storm. Amen. Amen. I like that song she sang. I thought about in Matthew chapter number 14. And when, thank God, the Bible says this all out there, and the wind began to be boisterous, and thank God they began to be afraid. And you know, the captain didn't know what to say, and the crewmates didn't know what to say, and Peter didn't know what to say, and they was all in the midst of the storm, and nobody knew what to say. Isn't it amazing how when folks know you're in the midst of a storm, and they give you some of the worst advice that they ever have gave anybody?
And they always say things like this. Hey, you'll get through it. Amen. And we'll thank God. Amen. And where'd you get that from? And we all know that sort of thing. And say, man, you'll get through it. And keep your chin up. And keep looking up. And we always try to say something. And it rarely ever helps. But I'll promise you this. Thank God. If you're in that midst of that storm. And here comes the Lord come passing by your way. And knows right where you're at in that place. And knows right what's going on in your heart. I'll assure you this. And before he ever calmed the storm, he calmed their heart. And before he ever changed the weather, he changed what was troubled on the inside of their mind. Hey, listen, man can't do that. And they might have navigated the waters, but I'm glad there's a God in heaven that can speak right down to where you're living. Amen. And you say, preacher, what'd he say? What'd he say? He didn't remind them he was creator. He didn't remind them of his power. He didn't go on a 4-chapter discourse. Oh, no, friend. He said right there. And he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Amen. And you say, what difference does that make? It sure helps me a lot, thank God. It sure helps me when I'm in the midst of a storm in my life to be reminded. Thank God that I'm his and he is mine. All I know is this. There ain't not one thing. I mean, not one thing that'll ever come my way that the great shepherd and the bishop of my soul has not authorized or allowed. Amen. And if he's in control of me, and he is, thank God, he's in control of the circumstances, and he is. And then when he shows up, I know it's all right. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, these folks today, thank God, they're trying to read self-help books and trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out how to make it through the next storm of their life. But I'm glad, thank God, he knows. He has the tongue of the learned. I thought about this. I'm glad only God knows how to say to somebody who's in the midst of sorrow. Brother Rodney, I preach this all the time. I say it at about every funeral that I ever stand and preach this. I'll say something like this. I'll say, I don't know what to say here. I don't know really what to do here. And this is the one thing I don't have evidence from Christ what to do. Every time he showed up at a place where somebody was dead, he resurrected them from the dead. And so I never watched the Lord. I don't have a text to go to and say this is how you preach a funeral. But I thought about this, thank God. Listen, the coroner might say something's dead. I mean, listen, the funeral director might say there is no hope. But I'm glad when God shows up. Thank God, God has the ability to say something that nobody else knows. Listen, Brother Josh made mention of it again. He was all in my notes this morning, made me mad, just to be honest about it. And listen, look here. I thought so much about Miss Irene and that day whenever Miss Kay passed away. And they'd already get ready to call the coroner. And they done pronounced her dead, getting ready to take her off. And Miss Irene said, I just got to pray it and ask the Lord. Amen. I don't know how many of y'all was with us that day, but it was sure a sight to see a little 5'2 woman running up and down the halls at Fenners County Hospital, shouting to the glory of God, because the God of heaven reached down where she was. I'm glad for this, friend. It's not over till God says it is. And there's a lot of folks. There's an awful lot of folks. And if you'd ever get that down in your heart, at those situations that seem to be so desperate, that seem to be so dead, that seem to be so sorrowful, I'm glad when the Lord shows up, friend, he knows just what to say. Amen. Help me say, preacher, what'd he say? He didn't remind them of what he was going to do necessarily. He said, I am the resurrection. That's a pretty good phrase, thank God. You know what he done for those who was by the grave? He reminded them of the glory that is to come. Hey, thank God, I'm glad tonight. I might see you at a funeral home tomorrow and not know what to say. But I'm glad when the God of glory speaks peace to your heart for it. There's not hardly nothing like it. I wish it was all good news. Hebrews. But I'm going to say this to you too. I'm glad he knows what to say to the self-righteous crowd too. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. Hey, you say, preacher, what do you say to the self-righteous crowd? I don't know. They make me about three quarters mad, to be honest about it. I mean, if I'm just being real honest. Thank God, that crowd that you know. Hey, listen, everything in their life is better than it is in your life. They're judging everything wrong everywhere else. They've always got their finger pointed at somebody who's doing a little worse than what they are. Amen. They say, man, I'm doing okay here, but you don't seem to be doing good there. I'm again that crowd. Ain't you again that crowd? And if you're that crowd, I'm again you. Amen. Had to thank God, but I want to say this. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't mix up words when it came to dealing with that crowd either. You say, what'd he say? He said, woe unto you, hypocrites. Amen. Thank God. Let me say this, good neighbor. If the Lord was again that crowd, I'm again that crowd too. Amen. I don't know what happens sometimes in our churches, but I wish it would quit happening. It's almost like somebody gets saved, and after they're saved and got sanctified a little bit, that they forgot how it was that God found them. Amen. I mean, they forgot, thank God, that they wasn't always so spiritual. Amen. Somebody could better smile at me. Thank God, you will make me mad. Amen. I mean, listen, it'd do us all good. Had to remember that there wasn't always a time that you was doing as well as you are right now. And we get to sitting around, we say, oh brother, listen, I was having a conversation the other day with a fella, and for the sake of anonymity, and that's simply what I said. I was talking to him about different things. I said, the scripture's real plain. And therefore, if any man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And you say, preacher, I would never do that, and I would never do that, and I would never do that. You're the very crowd I'm worried about, amen. I don't have no confidence in my flesh, and you ought not have none in yours either. Amen. That's right. Come in the house of God. He said, woe unto you hypocrites. You know what he dealt with them about? He dealt with them about their pride. Hey, some folks are way too high to ever get any help from God. Because what they think is they're not as bad as somebody else. And the truth of the matter is, you probably ain't. But you ain't near as good as Christ, and that's your problem. Amen. You look around this church, I'm sure I could have a volunteer or two stand up, say, if you want to compare yourself against them, you'll not look real good, or you might look a little better. I don't know, thank God. But that's why we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves. Hey, thank God, listen. Hey, you might have a little success right here where I'm failing. I might have a little success over here where you're failing. But I'll promise you this. Listen, the Lord's not failed anywhere, amen. And look here, friend, if you start comparing yourself to Christ, you're going to come up looking awfully bad. Amen. So I'm glad that there is humility for the proud. Let me say this to you. I thought I might preach a little longer. I might not preach as long as I thought I would. I want to say this. I'm glad, thank God, that there's, Lord knows how to speak a word to the weariful that's shameful. I mean, listen, there's some folks that I think if we could ever get them past their past, they could probably do something for God. They're ashamed of it. And the devil uses that shame to keep them in their seats and to keep their mouth shut. Is that all right? Am I all right there? We is a running well to start with. I got hung up when I started preaching against liquor, didn't I? Got hung up, made some folks mad. I'm still against it, and so is the Bible. Amen. Amen. Don't y'all think that's right? I don't care what liberal preacher stands up and says it's okay, tries to take some text out of context, make everybody feel okay about it. You say, preacher, what about a little wine for your stomach's sake? What about a little vinegar from the pharmacy? Amen. We got better drugs now. I happen to know. Go get a little Zofran. You don't have to be a wine bibber. All right, well, let me move on. Let me get back to Peter. I'm on Peter. That's in me. I feel like things are changing around us. And there's an awful lot of folks who seem to be all right with an awful lot of things that God ain't never been all right with. God ain't never been all right with it. And he ain't all right with it. And just because you find somebody on TikTok that says he is, don't mean he is.
Yeah.
Ain't that right? I feel like preaching a little better now than I was even a second ago, being honest with you. I mean, listen, you can find TikTok, get your feed right, and everybody on your feed will say whatever you want them to say. But that will not change the Word of God. It won't do it. It won't do it. It won't do it. I don't care if you go sit down with the preacher and drink. It's still wrong. And God's still for Israel while I'm there. Amen. God's still for Israel. All right, let me get back to it. I got to preach on Peter, and then I'm going to be. I want to say this. Hey, some folks in here, they're just ashamed of where they've been. And I can relate to that. And I think probably most of us can. There's things. Just, you know, whenever Peter went fishing, no doubt all the disciples thought he was done. The devil probably whispered, "You're done." And Peter probably thought he was done. And everybody could have, Brother Scotty, everybody could have came back and they said, "Peter, man, we still need you. Just go back at it." Peter felt like, "Man, ain't no way I can."
Yeah.
Where do you start when you failed the Lord as miserably as he failed him? How do you ever get back to being on the inner circle when now you're on the outside looking in? You know what hinders, I think, a lot of people is not that they don't think they might could get back right with God, it's that they don't think they could ever get back to where they were with God. And I want to assure you of this, if you'd be willing to get back right with God, it'll be better than you ever thought it would be. You say, "Well, what did the Lord have to say?" I don't find Thomas saying a whole lot. I don't find John saying a whole lot. But I find all of a sudden, here comes the Lord. And he don't say a whole lot. He says, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?"
Yeah.
And the first thing that he says, he said, "Feed my lambs." And he asked him again, "Man, Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" He said, "Feed my sheep." You say, "Brother Kevin, what? It don't seem like a whole lot's going on." Listen, it don't take the Lord a whole lot to say a whole lot.
That is right. Amen.
What the Lord, look, would y'all, listen, I feel like I'm preaching right now. I feel like some of you done cut me off, but I'm still minding the Lord, I promise you.
Brother.
You know what the Lord done with him right there? He picked Peter up, and he took him all the way back to 3 years earlier. And he sets him right by a fishing boat when the Lord comes passing by his way. He looks over at Peter and he says, "Follow me. Follow me." And now 3 years he's followed him and now he's failed him and he's ashamed of it. And what the Lord does that nobody else could do is he picks Peter up one more time and he puts him right back to where he was at the first time. And he sets him right back down there again. He says, "Peter, go read it, John 21. He says, "Follow me."
Yeah, buddy.
He said, "What about this man right here? What's he going to do? What's John going to do?" Yeah. He said, "What's that?" He said, "What's that to thee?" He said, "Follow thou me."
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to say this to you, friend. It's an amazing thing. If we'd quit listening to man and start listening to God. Disciples thought he was done. Peter thought he was done. Devil thought he was done.
Hallelujah.
The Lord comes by and he says, "Peter, I've still got some lamb and some sheep. And I need you to go feed them."
Amen.
All I'm saying is this. It's an amazing thing if we just listen to what the Lord really does have to say. Stand to your feet. I'm done preaching. Allison, come. The Lord's got the tongue of the learned. He knows how to speak something to your heart, right? Whether you're in a storm, whether you're in sin, whether you're in shame, whether you're in sorrow, wherever you're at today, God's got a word for you. And you say, "Preacher, how do I ever get back there?" I'll tell you how you get back there. You'd make one step toward the Lord and let the Lord. One fellow said it like this. I was thinking about this the other day. Allison begins to play. Gage, I was thinking about what heard a fellow say. He said, "This little boy, I got some little boys in here that'll do this from time to time. They'll come by and say, 'Preacher, I'd like to quote to you my memory verse.'
This fellow say another day, a fellow got up to him, a little boy came up and told him, he said, I want to quote my favorite memory verse. It says, Matthew 11:28. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And that little boy said, and Jesus said, and I'll do the rest. Now that's not right with the verse, but it is right with the Bible. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring, heavy laden. You'll find Jesus will do the rest. Jesus will do the rest.